Welcome back, everybody, to the Eagle Boys. Once again, my name is Nick.
My name is Drew.
And today, we had on Drew Nickens from Kill Tony, a regular at Kill Tony.
What a killer.
What a killer, man. I'll tell you what. What a killer, dude.
And he was so nice to talk to, very respectful. And we, you know, got to know him.
Got to know a little bit more about him. And, it was just really fun to talk to him just because of, I've watched him on Kill Tony. He's a real funny guy, has real good stand-up. And we're just excited to bring you guys this episode, y'all. So I hope y'all enjoy. Thank you all so much for watching.
Thank you.
Drew, thank you so much for coming on. So when I first saw you come on Kill Tony, I thought you were amazing. I was like, this guy is great. Like because I've been watching the show for a while now.
I remember your first appearance like it was yesterday, man. I remember I laughed my ass off when you came on, man.
So when you went back the first time, what did they say to you? Were they like, oh, he wants you to come back on?
So here's what happened. So they were like, hey, wait here. We want you to hang out with us in mid-season. And I was like, all right, cool. So I was back there watching. And as the guy was going, I was just like, oh, man, he's getting a rough day of it. And then one of the producers was like, hey, this has never happened. Tony wants to know if you have another minute. Like, yeah. And so I kind of was like, okay, let's think of what can I do that's like a minute right now. And I thought of one, and then I was like, all right, let's get ready to roll. And then it was just like, it was like you almost black out on stage because you just do your material. There was no like thinking about it so much. You just had, it was just like, go, go, go. And so it was just like so surreal to like go up on stage and do a minute. And like, I had been waiting for like 10 and a half months. So I was like, this is a fever dream. I didn't think it was real on the way home either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a great drive home. You're like, I just killed it. I got the opportunity of a lifetime. So did that change your whole life? Like, are you going out to like different states? Are you like selling out? Like how did your life change after you went on Kill Tony?
Well, now I'm doing comedy full time and I live in Austin and I get to go to the greatest club in the world at the Comedy Mothership every Monday and I get to see everyone. And, you know, I'm getting bookings little by little. I get all the stage time that I need right now and I've been really grinding. And it has like really changed my life because now it's like I'm a comedian. I could say that I'm a full-time comedian. And
that's so cool.
And it's just so like, people don't understand how much your life can change just from Kill Tony, because it's just like, it's so surreal. And there's a lot of really hard work and there's a lot of ups and downs, but it's one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life. And I'm just so thankful for it, you know?
So are you friends with Tony? Do you guys hang out when you go there? Has he mentored you? Has he told you to do anything like off of stage?
We talked a little bit about what I can improve on and what he wants me to work on. We talked a little bit, you know, but it's mostly about what I'm doing on in stand up, what I can improve on stage and things of that nature, how to navigate certain things. If I have questions, he'll usually answer them. So it's usually more like he's my guru to a certain extent. Like if I ask him something, it's because I'm confused about how to navigate this stuff. Because it's a totally different business when you're doing this for a living than when you're just doing this as a hobby. There's a lot of nooks and crannies that you have to cross. And then you have to to get better, you have to do like these little things. So
what's your writing style like? Do you just sit down in a room and kind of hammer it out, or do you just do it on stage?
So I hammer out a bunch of premises. I'll figure out some premises and then I'll throw a bunch of stuff against the wall basically and kind of see what sticks. And then when I'm on stage, a lot of these places that I go to, I just do this main premise and I'll do different ways of it, and then I'll listen to it on the audio to see where the punches is, if there's a really good punch there. Oh, I got a really good reaction there. Okay, I got that in this room, but I didn't get it in that room.
So it's very hands-on.
It's a very hands-on approach and very much like, it's a constant process to grow. Like my closer has evolved from what it was at first to now there's like three or four different pieces on there to make it pop even more. So So there's a lot of really interesting things that you can do and figure out. So
wow,
that's amazing. So as far as like you being a comedian, like you getting into comedy, who like inspired you really? Are there any comedians that you looked up to in the industry that got you into it, or is it just something you kind of fell into?
So my idol is actually David Spade. David Spade is like my favorite comedian of all time.
He's great.
And then, you know, Wanda Sykes, she's one of them, Sinbad. Yep. Like there's a bunch of different ones. Aziz Ansari, Ralphie May, Patrice O'Neill.
Yep.
You know, all the goats, you know, even Steinfeld. Another guy that people don't talk a lot about, but I think is a genius, and he's like a totally different style than me, is Joe Pera. He's very soft-spoken and slow. And he's like so different than me, but I love watching him do fucking work. His last special was really, really cool. So it's just like, now that I'm into comedy and I listen to it a lot more, the more I'm like, whoa, okay, that's really cool. It's kind of like when you start playing basketball a lot more, you notice the little things, or if you start training MMA, you notice the little things that they do, and you're like, whoa, that's crazy to think of that on the spot. So
this is kind of random, but have you talked to, so do they put you back in the green room on days that you're supposed to appear?
So I go to the green room every Monday to see what's going on. And then if I'm downstairs waiting, and if they need me, they'll bring me up. So I do get to be in the green room for a little bit, which is cool. You know, I get to meet a bunch of different people. And,
what is William Montgomery like?
He is the nicest guy. He's an awesome dude.
I saw that you did a podcast with him. I listened to it for a bit, and I mean, he is such like a wrecking ball. He is so funny. He's like one of my favorite acts. Like I watched the whole thing just to see him, and I'm like, this is amazing. Have you talked to Joe Rogan by chance?
No, we've seen each other a little bit, but you know, he's such a busy guy. But always people trying to. So I mean, I've said hello, but I don't really talk to him much because, you know, he's always busy and there's always 15 million people around him. But he's a really nice guy. And like William is so funny. He's so smart. He's on it. And like that podcast was so much fun because we just got to riff and just go in different directions wherever we wanted to go. And it's really fun to see the process in person. Because him and Casey Rocket are so on their feet.
Oh, I love Casey Rocket.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so cool, and it's magical to see like geniuses at work, and that's what I love to hear.
I've been a fan of the show for like the past like 4 or 5 years, and to see people like you and Casey Rocket just come out of nowhere, and you guys have crazy talent. Like I think it's so cool that everyone gets to like witness you guys, like, you know, form your act, mm-hmm. and like form your, career. Is there anyone that has like wanted to take you on the road with them or anything? Do you think you're going on tour at any point, or are you still trying to like build things up right now?
Right now I'm really trying to work on having a strong 20. I can do 30, 35, and when I am on the road and when I'm on stage, it's fun. But right now I'm really focusing on trying to get the best 20 minutes I can that destroys a room. And I am doing stuff with like Enrique and Heath. We're going to go do a show in El Paso on January 10th, which is really fun. And I do stuff with like Rick, and I sometimes, you know, we all kind of look out for each other. So it comes and goes. And right now the main thing that I'm focusing on is just doing as many spots in Austin as I can, trying to get 90 minutes worth of stage time a week. Because if I'm doing 90 minutes of stage time a week, there's obviously going to be some progression no matter what I'm doing. If I'm working hard and really trying to think of new material, getting my pacing down, and just really focusing on the little nuances of being on stage, then everything will come together.
Who do you think won the contest between Rick Diaz and Hans Kim?
It's such a tricky one because I wasn't in the building for the LA Forum one, and I wasn't in the building, and I was in the building for the New Year's one, but I was behind. So where they had the comics were, they had us behind the screen.
Okay.
Because there's a big screen up there. So we were behind. So I couldn't really hear anything that was going on. Because, like, I was all the way in. Because they had us all, like, scrunched up. So we had to walk all the way down the row. And so I didn't get to hear a lot of it. And so the second one, you could tell it was, I think Hans probably won the second one for sure.
Okay.
The first one was really, really close. I almost think it was too close to call because it was so crazy and everything of that nature. But, you know, I love both those boys. They're both my friends. They're both great people.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it was such a great, like, thing. It felt like WrestleMania. it had to, because, like, as a boxing fan, it had that big fight mentality.
Yeah,
you know, when you watch a Canelo Berlanga, like, it had that feeling where you were like, whoa, we don't know what's going to happen. We're here for the sport. And I think that was just, it was very magical in that moment because you just felt that big. Everyone was like, who's going to win? You never know. You talk for a long time. So I appreciate it for what it was. And I feel like they both are great comedians and great. And they did a lot of really cool stuff for Kill Tony in that regard. So, you know, I love them both. And it's a hard one to call. Hard one to call.
Most definitely.
Yeah, just the energy of watching it, I was like, oh, this shit's going down.
Oh, it's going down. Yeah, it was, like you said, it was like fight night, dude. Like, the energy was in the air.
What advice do you have to give the people that like, want to sign up for the show? Because I want to go so bad. Like, that's one of my life goals, is to go to Austin, Texas, and sign up for Kill Tony. I would probably be dog shit, but at the same time, like it sounds like it would be a fun thing. Because what if you do good, and then all of a sudden, you know?
Here's what I'll say. I would say, because Kill Tony is something that can change your life, and there's a lot of comedians that are signing up because they love what they do and they want to put their heart out there. If you're going to do it, do 2 to 3 months worth of mics, focus on your minute, really, really do something. Because if you go up there and you're not trying, you are wasting an opportunity for someone who is hungry and has been signing up for a long time.
Very much so.
And as someone who had to sign up for 10 and a half months before he got pulled, seeing people that you just know when they're like, yeah, I don't have a minute. I just want to be on stage, or I have a minute and it's dog doo-doo the next. And then I watch it 3 or 2 weeks later and it's dog doo-doo. And it's like, man, you took a spot from somebody
that
could have really, really used it to boost their name up. And so if you're going to do it right. Go to mics. Go suffer. You're going to be last on the list. Sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to play Candy Crush for 3 hours while you're hearing everyone else work on their act. But you got to really dedicate yourself and put in the time and really focus on, hey, is this something I want to do? And because if you don't like being on stage, and the first time you're on stage is when there's 300 people staring at you, and you can't form a sentence when you're doing the interview, you should have gotten on stage a couple times to see if you even like that. Because some people don't like being on stage. And they don't know that until they get on stage. So get on stage, work your minute, try to do the best you can, you know, interact with other comedians, try to get in the scene, you know, enjoy comedy. Because you only get to start comedy once. And it's one of the greatest journeys if you want to pursue it. You'll have it. It'll be amazing. And you know what? You may only have a career for 6 months, but you know what? You'll think about that for the rest of your life.
Oh, definitely.
So I just do comedy, man. That's what I want people to do. Just do comedy.
Don't just
do it because you want to get on Kill Tony. Comedy is fucking, it is one of the most fun art forms that you can do.
Oh, yeah.
And not everyone can do it, but if you can do it and have fun on stage, there's nothing like it. There's no other high than doing great on stage. You feel so good. Yeah, there's some lows. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
I bombed on an episode that has almost 25 million views.
Oh, did you really? Which one? I didn't think you've ever really done that bad. Which one?
No. The Biden-Trump, I saved it with a dance battle.
Oh,
holy.
I thought that was funny.
I was just about to say, I didn't think that was bad.
That was entertaining.
I'm my harshest critic, and that's why I can't look at the comments, because I will agree with them. They don't understand how brutal it is sometimes when you just see the hate, and that's why I can't even, like, I had to block Reddit completely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually on Reddit. I know what you're saying. People are so mean.
And the thing is, like, when I watch Kill Tony, I have to turn it into landscape mode so I can't see the comments.
Yeah, they can't see them at the bottom.
I have to watch it.
Yeah.
I have to watch it. But I can't look at what other people are saying. I have to focus on what I can do better. And I think sometimes it gets into your head when you're like, am I supposed to be here? What am I doing? And sometimes you just have to understand that there's people that don't understand how hard, how difficult doing a minute on stage, because when I'm doing a longer set, people are like, oh my god, they're amazed because they see what I'm doing and they're like, wow, it's great. And so doing that minute, and like this last minute where I talk about Jesse's play, it was a really I think my head wasn't in the minute as much because I just wanted to talk about Jesse and talk about everything good that was happening with Jesse's place, because that place helped so many people. And so my mind wasn't in the minute, and I feel like you could feel it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then because that room, it's so hard to find any laughs. Like, there were laughs, but
I heard some.
And that's the thing, is like, it didn't sound as great, but I think, I don't know. It's a very difficult way to navigate. And so I've just been really focusing on what I can do better, doing as many spots as I can, and just really pulling through.
I thought it was good. I think there was a couple, I mean, I'm not a comedian, but just as like a part of the audience, there was probably a couple spots where like you could have hit the punchline in a different way, but still, like, I enjoyed listening to your set. I enjoy you every time you come on. That's why I wanted to, I was like, I got to talk to this guy.
Yeah. I was like, we got to have him on, dude. Like, you know,
so no, you're killing it, man. You're doing a great job. And all the people who have nasty comments about you online, honestly, comedy is probably one of the hardest things you can do. And the fact that you're getting up there and you're doing that, I mean, that in itself is an accomplishment. And everyone else can honestly go fuck themselves. I'm not going to lie.
What I realized is I think, too, and this is just one of the things I've realized, some of the people who are so negative is because they hyperfixate themselves on Kill Tony, where it's just such a big part of their life that they want their opinion heard. So if they say they don't like someone, they want to vocalize it as much as possible, because if I've been on for 6 months, I did my job. Ugh. It makes them feel better. So when they're so they won't. A lot of that Reddit is a lot of negativity.
Oh, it's awful.
I don't know why. I don't know why you want to be so negative all the time.
I don't get it.
No, it upset me, because I mean, there's some good comments as well, but it just upsets me to see how people are. I mean, I think a lot of people do it just because they hate their own lives, and they're like, oh, I'm just going to say something nasty about someone else just to make, you know, my day
make
better.
Make me feel better.
Yeah, make themselves feel better. But it, yeah, it I wouldn't worry
funny
about it.
That there's a guy who does YouTube shorts. I'm not going to say what his name is, but he was so negative about me. And I randomly saw one time I was swiping down and on YouTube shorts, and I see Drew Nickens op. So instead of getting on him, I just followed him on my Instagram.
Yeah.
When I followed him on Instagram, he automatically goes, oh man, he's such a likable guy.
Oh no.
Flipped his tone.
Knowing that, okay, because I just followed him. I didn't put any message. I didn't send him anything. I just followed just to give him like a hey.
Like a hey, I saw you.
I know what's going on.
Put it on there. And you know, I haven't listened to this.
That's a power move.
That's
but it was just like, you know, I know all those people on Reddit. If they saw me in real life, they'd be like, oh my God.
Oh my God, Drew Nickens, I saw you on Kill Tony. I fucking love you, bro. Like,
exactly.
You know
what I mean? Right.
And the thing is you know, they'll do that. And then they'll be a fan once they see that I'm a real person. But sometimes I think they forget that. Everybody on that show was a real person.
Yeah, they were.
The hateful things that you say, and when you're really fucking negative about somebody, like it can affect you. And I have imposter syndrome a lot when it's like I don't belong in anywhere, and so I deal with those thoughts a lot. And so understanding that I have to understand that there's always going to be negativity no matter what you do.
Oh yeah.
I could save 70 people out of a building and people would be like, but he's still loud. I could donate $50 million and they'd be like, yeah, man, but I still gotta clean my ears out because he's so loud and abrasive. Like they would find something negative.
Oh, even dude, you can't worry about that.
Everybody's got their little comments.
But that's the thing is I'm learning to deal with that, and
I'm sure it's new for you because you're new at this. Like this is all new stuff for you, so it's probably tough for you to.
It's only been like 6 months since my Kill Tony kicked up here.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's been the craziest 6 months of my life. You know, so
that's so awesome. I'm so happy for you, man. To see your success and your life change, and to hear you talk about it, that is so cool.
Like, those are the stories that we love around here. You know what I mean?
Right, because we're trying to
we're trying to make something happen. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But you know, but we still love hearing stories like this. But I do have one question because you brought it up. That episode you were on with Shane Gillis as Donald Trump and all that. I got to know what Shane Gillis is like. Like, I love Shane Gillis too. I think he's amazing. What is Shane Gillis like? Is he exactly cool like you dude. Would think? You know,
he's a cool dude. He's a cool, quiet, good dude. Just one of the boys, you know, he's just a good dude. Like in general, like anybody in his camp, LeMaire, Sean Guarini, JD McCann, Matt McCusker, Tommy Pope, all those boys are just some of the nicest people you'll meet. And comedy is that way too. There hasn't been a person that I've been like, oh man, I don't want to deal with them. Everybody in the comedy world is just really kind and awesome. And that's one of the really surprising things. Like, I love everybody that I've encountered in the comedy world because they're just good people. And, you never know who you're going to meet, who's a killer, you know, who's a good soul.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. And it's just, it's amazing. So
that is,
I'm just happy to be around the great people that I've been able to.
That's amazing. So we are at 25 minutes. I don't want to take up too much of your time. We can keep going if you want, or if you got to go, that's awesome.
If you got one more I'll do one more question. One more question.
Take it away, Drew.
Oh, shit. Putting me on the spot. where do you see yourself going in the future? What's your next plans? Are you still just trying to figure everything out?
I want to be a strong feature and maybe do some headlining road gigs. But right now I just want to, like, in the future, I just want to keep doing comedy. I still want to keep refining my minutes, keep refining my act in general, and just see where it takes me, because right now I'm on that ledge of lifetime career and coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, so that I'm right on that edge, and I feel like I'm working really hard to push myself towards making this a career and making people happy on stage and doing whatever I can to be the best person I can be and a contributed member of society, and showing that there's no limitations if you work hard in your time, because that's what you have to do. It's like, you got to work hard, you got to be kind, and you got to put your focus in the right places, and magical things can happen. So that's all I'll say, is I just want to work hard, and hopefully the results put me in a place where I can be the best person I can be.
That was a beautiful last word.
Beautiful way
that
to put
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. And we really appreciate you coming on.
Yes,
and
Drew. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us today. I know you're a very busy man. And it's just been more than an honor to be able to talk to you today, man.
Thank you all so much. Y'all have a great day, all right?
Hey, you as well. Everybody, we're going to put all of his links in the description below. Again, he was on Kill Tony. Check out any of the episodes that Drew Nickens was on Kill Tony. He's probably going to be on there again, so go ahead and check that out. We're going to link his Instagram and everything down in the description below. And
on Instagram, in my link tree, I have a story about Jesse, my little brother that passed away about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a charity manager's name called Jesse's Place that helps young adults 18 and 24. They get a place to sleep. They get their own bedding. They get job training. They get medical help and mental health help. And they get them on medications and everything. So it's a really important place. If you ever think of if you have any, oh man, I need to donate to charity, please consider that. Read the articles and everything of that nature. That they always need help on the Amazon list and everything else. So check the link tree if you want to, and everything else. So thank you all so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to put that link tree down in the description below. Be sure to check that out and donate to his organization. Drew, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you later. All right.
Bye. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you all so much.
Have a great day.
Yes, sir.